Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Conscious Thought with Leo on the BBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, tonight we are having our guest from last show back, Eva Daly. Good evening, Eva, and thanks for being on the show tonight again.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You were welcome. We had some, technical difficulties last week, and we lost some airtime. So I decided, we were so great in conversation. I decided, I wanted to have you back because there's so much more that we would love to talk about. And especially tonight, our focus ended up to be on our emotions. And what I would love to do is that to let our listener know, I will not go in a big introduction. I just wanted to let everybody know about Eva, that she's a self-taught scholar of theoretical physics, neurology, and evolutionary biology. And also she's a writer of the book, Signs of Consciousness. Oh, folks, before I go into the interview, I wanted to just let you know, if you have any questions for Eva, you can call us in at the number 1-888-626-6008. Again, the number would be 1-888-627-6008. Well, thank you for that, introduction of what that needs to be done. So, Eva, let's dive in our next conversation tonight about the emotions. So, what I would love for you to share with us first, just kind of give us again a brief information. What is consciousness from the point of science, and how does science sees emotions?
Well, the understanding of emotions have changed a lot in science. We could go back to Darwin, who was the first one to raise the question about emotions. But for a very long time, science didn't really consider it emotions very seriously, or consciousness for that matter. In the large part of the 20th century, serious scientists wouldn't dare to risk his or her career by asking questions about consciousness. But in the past, maybe 30 years, maybe 20, 30 years, it has become a field, a serious scientific field, consciousness and emotions also. So we are beginning to understand that emotional intelligence is something that determines intellect and not the other way around. So here we are asking these questions, and I think traditionally women have more of an emotional side, although I must say this is not true, of course, but traditionally women are considered to be more emotional and understanding emotions. I think perhaps this is because we are more intuitive about it.
Also, I think, Eva, the women, they have an easier way to express their emotions. I think men are a little shy about, and from the past, men who expressed emotion, they were looked so, abnormal. It was not part of the lifestyle, I would say.
Yes, very true. That's a very good point. Exactly. But I think it's becoming accepted even for men to be emotional, and they are curious about emotions. I find that I write a blog, and the people who read the blog, who ask questions, are perhaps more men than women. So that's a very good thing, because understanding about emotions helps you. It guides, because emotions guide our lives, guide our thoughts, everything that we do. And if I can say this, when you analyze your day of any person, then we find that there are two actions that occur. One is automatic and the other one is emotional. Without emotions, we cannot make a decision. So these are the two
possibilities.
So these are the two possibilities. And I can show that automatic decisions, which occur in a fraction of the second, you don't even know you are making them. From when you make your morning coffee or you drive a car or walk or whatever. But these actions, these behavioral patterns originate in emotions. When you learn to walk, it was an emotional struggle. You wanted to get there. Mm-hmm. But once we learn these, driving a car or making your coffee, it occurs automatically. You don't even have to remember what's going on. Your brain will carry out these action patterns. But what I want to tell your listeners is that it is much, these automatic actions are a lot more than just these behavioral patterns. We form the vast majority of our life occurs with these automatic responses to stimuli in the environment. So when people ask questions, we don't think about it. We just automatically say in a fraction of the second, we already know what we are going to say. And these automatic responses originate in emotions somewhere back in time. So when you consciously do anything in your life, then you form your future. And I think this is a very important take-home message, that this subconscious field of energy is like a sea of that is made up of waves, a fluid surface that is constantly in action, and these waves flow into each other, they go against each other, so they form or dictate the way you respond to anything that happens in your life. In science, we are becoming, we are getting to understand that free will is basically just a veto right of the conscious mind. Our decisions arise subconsciously, and at a certain threshold, we become aware of them. So it's not that you made that decision. You become aware of the decision that your subconscious mind made earlier. So it's very interesting. And this is just a fascinating and this very new research that scientists are finding out about.
So Eva, I was looking forward to ask the question. So what was the turning point for the science that they started to pay attention more to the emotions?
Well, it has been many happenings, and there were courageous scientists that started to deal with these questions, the question of free will, for example, in the 1980s by Libet. And last time in our show, you mentioned Damasio, who is a neuroscientist, American neuroscientist, who had a major impact in the understanding of our emotions. which was always with us, of course, but scientifically to study it, it, as I said, it hasn't occurred until 20 and 30 years ago, and now we know how important emotional intellect is in our intellectual abilities and our success and our health, the formation of diseases, and in our general well-being.
Oh, absolutely. The reason why I'm asking is that because from the Eastern philosophy point of view, you know, they are looking at the human being more from the holistic aspect, and, you know, they are looking more from the emotional aspect because, you know, I'm actually in the, you know, health and wellness. And when I'm working with the meridians, you know, they have a things energy connections and different vibrations, and they are also dealing with the different emotions. And so it's very interesting that, you know, I am actually very pleased that the Western science is actually kind of opening themselves more to the idea that it's more just than a physical body, you know.
Oh, yes, it's very true. There is a lot to learn from this Eastern viewpoint and understanding of emotions and our general wellness, or about consciousness
exactly.
and the mind. That's very true, and that's a very good point. Yeah, thank you for raising that and making that.
And another question what I was also looking for, Eva, to ask, did anybody do any scientific research with the emotional, from the emotional aspect by children? Or by the elderly people, you know, people especially who are, you know, in retired communities and stuff, because, you know, the liveness or goals or life's agendas are different for the elderly than the just when you are in your flourishing life, you know, in the middle of the whatever, say between 30, 40, 50. It's
yes,
different.
Certainly, and that's a very good point again. So when children are born, you know, infants, the emotions are very simplistic at that time. So it takes time for these to mature, and, you know, to achieve a full emotional. This full coloring of emotions that we have.
What age would that happen, Eva, by the children? Approximately.
Well, it's pretty much in the first year of life.
Okay.
For example, studies with 2.5 years children, they find that even altruism exists in 2.5 years.
Oh my God!
So that's incredible that children would do a sacrifice. You know, sacrifice their toy to comfort a suffering child or puppet or animal or whatever. So they have this inherent emotional compassion that we find, that we feel is a very human skill. And with the elderly, I think it depends. In the very old, we find a turning inward. And this is the decrease of mental openness toward the world. So they have less and less interest in others, and with that, even this compassion for the suffering as others, it's not that it diminish. I don't want to use that word, but it becomes a graying. You know, a general.
I totally understand
of emotions. So I'm sorry, just so that the happiness and joy, and also the suffering becomes muted. So it's very interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to finish it. That in the children, we find this the suffering of the body is minor. Largely, of course, there are sick children, but largely it is minor. That the tummy is, you know, aching or something, but these are minor problems. But children are willing to cry their hearts out because their emotional swings are so immense. But in the elderly, these swings, emotional swings, which are actually energy changes, you know, the changing levels of energy is minor. So the even though in the elderly the suffering is major, you know, the body is really changing in such a way that aches and pains are almost constant, but this muted emotional response allows them an emotional stability. So researchers actually find that in the elderly, there is a greater sense of well-being because of these reduced responses, fluctuations in emotions. Mm-hmm. So there is a good side to growing old, while, you know, these hormonal fluctuations in teenagers especially, they can be in love in one day and they can hate that person in the other day, and they can love their parents in one moment and hate them in the next, and that is perfectly normal. Mm-hmm. And so this is, I guess, our emotional changes in our lives, and everybody goes through that, and that's normal.
And, but also they are exercising to understand how emotions, you know, are responding, and you know, to understand even the emotions.
Yes, for everybody. To understand about emotions has immense benefit because of the role emotions play in our lives. It's just always there. We are not conscious of all of our emotions. As I mentioned, this sea of subconscious this is an emotional sea that is always there, acting in our lives. And we only get conscious of certain emotions that reach a threshold that will rise to consciousness. So we don't have to deal with all those dozens or maybe hundreds of feelings that exist there, that we just deal with those few that warrant attention. And we all know that my pinky hurts, but when I step my toe, then I forget my pinky actually hurts. Yes. Because I deal with my toe. So there is always one, hopefully one, not two, maybe we can't pay attention to two, but very few in number that will rise to this conscious awareness. So this is an important question. And when we know the immense role of emotions, we can look at them in a more aware manner. And we can maybe change how we deal with them and how we work with emotions, how we, yes?
Eva, when you're talking about the sea of these emotions, are we talking about also, are you talking about the collective, or are you talking just about our own emotional field?
Well, that's a very good question. And I was talking certainly about the emotional field that exists in our own mind.
Mm-hmm,
but
okay.
we are part of both of a larger
Collective.
collective field, if you will. I don't want to say collective consciousness, and these are very difficult to define things,
That's why I'm
because
asking.
Scientifically we are so behind to understand it, but we are part of our community, part of our family, part of our friends, and part of the world. And there is a common field that directs how we think, how we feel, how we respond, and what we do. There are very exciting studies actually done right here in California. I can't tell you more precise place at this moment. It just doesn't come to my mind, but that your friends, what happens in your friends determines your happiness. It determines, for example, the likelihood of quitting smoking, because that's the question scientists ask. So these are fascinating questions, and I am sure that as we go along, we will find out about more and more things that are influenced by this field. It is a field that is formed by, you know, your friends, your yoga friends, maybe the national awareness, and the whole world. So,
absolutely, from so many angles. Yes, whatever you are actually maybe interacting with it.
Yes, exactly. So it does influence, and you don't. This is not conscious. This is all below of what you are aware of, but yet it dictates what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what is interesting, when I was reading today about when you were talking about the complexity and that, you know, that for essential requirement for intelligent life, and you were talking about about interaction. And, you know, how this interaction creates space and time, you know, practically we are keeping this alive. That's the way at least I understood. And if nothing is happening, then we have a static situation. That was very interesting for me. But that actually immediately answers me to that, what is really happening in the field. If we entertain some ideas or some thoughts, we will keep them alive and the rest of it is just stays in the sea.
Yes, you can put it that way.
Just different way I'm seeing it.
Yes. Could you clarify the question more?
No, I was just kind of talking about, because I was talking about the complexity.
Yes.
Okay, you know, and in the complexity, you know, to have essential requirement is the things. Hold on, the complexity is an essential part of the intelligent life, but the point was, you know, the being active or interaction. The interaction was very, very interesting point for me.
Oh, yes, certainly. So
this is why I was kind of just adding to that, you know, in the field, you know, and between the friends and people around us, you know, how we are interacting with them. Practically, we are interacting also with the field. That's what I was asking.
Yes, of course. And this interaction is a requirement of life, when we stop interacting and all these interactions are emotional, then life ceases. It's very interesting, but when they take away love from emotional animals, you know, newborn animals, then they die. So love is an essential ingredient of our life, and these first interactions at the beginning of life determine and encourage us to grow and blossom, and so we become at that point, we become part of this larger field that you mentioned, and we remain part of it. And so interaction is, of course, from the beginning of our food and water, that is also interaction, the needs of our bodies. But there is something beyond that, the needs of our soul, if you will.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Because
that is somehow connected to much deeper.
Yes, and it manifests itself in our social lives. We are social beings, people who are isolated, just get closer to death. It is shown that those who have good emotional interactions will have a longer life, and those who have family problems, just lonely, die sooner from all causes in middle age and after. So this belonging is a very important and crucial ingredient for well-being. And you don't have to have your friends or family right there with you. If you know that you can count on them, if you know that if you call Joe, he would be there for you, then Joe doesn't actually have to live with you in the same room or the same house or even the same town. Today, we can develop connections through halfway around the globe. But when you have this sense of belonging to the community that helps you, and this is very interesting, this has never been asked scientifically, how this is related to this field where, you know, this global the field of being there. But
see, Eva, this is why I was looking forward to bring you back, because I think this is so crucial. Because I was thinking about today that, you know, if we would understand how mind works, and if we would understand our emotions and learn how to handle them or manage them or master them, I think the world would look a little different today than it is.
Oh, yes, definitely. But you have to see that this is a new science, practically.
Yes,
20th, consciousness research and emotions. These are very new, relatively, and not only because of ignorance, but the tools that can be utilized to understand these relationships have coming just practically the same year, you know, 20, 30 years that they are developing. But and we are having better and better techniques to study emotions and consciousness. So it's a very exciting time to live right now. Of course, the study of the electric fields of the brain have started with the EEG in the 1920s with Berger, a German scientist. But for a very long time, this was just some curiosity that people didn't pay attention to. But today, the field is blossoming, and I am sure that these questions that you had will be answered in the next decade or two. So, but yet today, we understand more and more. Mm-hmm. And last time we touched upon the role of positive emotions and negative emotions in well-being. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that is very important for your viewers to understand and take home, how these emotions influence well-being and success, personal success, professional success, and even health, that it is the positive emotions that takes you forward, that moves you forward. And be joyful, laugh with your friend, with your children. That's the greatest thing you can do for yourself and for them. Negative emotions kill you. Plain and simple.
But Eva, I think I would like to actually create a little distinction here between the positive and negative emotions, because I would really wanted to add that actually negative, and I think we were talking about last time about that, negative emotions are not negative in a sense. We really wanted to work with them, because if we kind of just throw them out, we were talking also about that last time, that the background emotions can actually run our lives. So a lot of the time, if we are not dealing with the negative emotions and we just become positive, you know, those negative emotions that are not integrated, they can actually sabotage our life and business and relationships.
Oh, very, very, very good point, Magdalena. Thank you for making that. Exactly. So, and I am so glad you raised this, because the coloring of emotions give us who we are, and they are extremely important because they direct our lives. So when we feel negative emotions, they warn us about danger, or who are the people we have to avoid dealing with them, that's how we know what are the situations we are comfortable
Eva,
in.
You know what, I really wanted to add about negative emotions something else to it. What I'm recognizing, a lot of the time people are frustrating, for instance, about certain thing. Negative emotions are not just negative. Sometimes that could be that I do not know how to do something, and that creates the frustration. So it's not always negative emotions, but, you know, sometimes if I'm not, if I'm missing something, and so practically if I learn where I was not understanding something, all of a sudden everything changes. So that could be a very short-term negative emotion, but it has a positive outcome.
Oh, yes, that's so true, that when we feel negative emotions, mm-hmm. it warns us that we have to correct. And once we
Thank
correct,
you. That's a much better statement.
Exactly, exactly. Then it just basically, it's kind of like a feedback of mm-hmm. your brain that helps you to get better, to do things better, and that's a wonderful thing. So then you feel better about yourself. You are more confident, and so that's where these emotions come in. When we feel negative emotions, our security is challenged. we feel insecure. Scientists find that people feel overall negative about themselves. They feel heavier when they are in a negative emotional state. They feel their problems feels more difficult. They feel just more challenged generally. So, and last time we talked a little bit about this, that rumination, the long-term presence of negative emotions is what is dangerous.
Yes, thank you.
Fear negative emotions, that is wonderful because that's part of life and it doesn't endanger you in any way whatsoever. But when you have regrets or this long-term struggle with the past or the worry about the future, that is what dangerous. And there are people who basically seek out problems when they feel that somehow they feel good in the environment, then they start a project that has a very small chance of succeeding, and pretty soon they find themselves in a turmoil which they created for themselves. So that is...
Well, you know, Eva, this is exactly what I was thinking. Why would be important, you know, when we start to understand how the mind works and how the emotions are impacting us, that's exactly the situation. What I would say that you may want to kind of sit down and, you know, examine what's really going on, and then you can actually maybe change, you know, to turn yourself or your life actually more into the successful direction.
Yes, precisely true. And I have written a blog about this question, how to become more successful, maybe how to become more creative or how to achieve happiness in your life. And because these are all connected, and the way I suggest that there are two ways, basically, that you can do to move forward in this area is one is the comes from Eastern tradition, the meditation, yoga, and these practices that have been worked out for thousands of years, but they are still the best that we can do. We cannot come up with better ways. And the other possibility is the goal orientation, because this is tested and this is scientifically very well proven method, even in animals, in rats or mice or whatever, that when you keep your eye on the goal, then somehow you can get there, you help yourself to get there. So then immediately your mind balances itself, so you are less likely to respond to your circumstances and become more emotionally more stable. And that's the same thing what meditation or yoga helps achieve.
And I really liked your actually explanation about your, the emotional landscape. Using them look like a being on the peak of the mountain or the valley of the mountain.
that's a very good point, because the negative emotions, when you have negative emotions, it increases the details. This is an interesting thing, but That's why it can be likened to this landscape, this analogy, landscape analogy works so wonderful, because positive emotions actually does feel like being on the mountain. You feel your lungs can fill with air. You feel yourself immediately a couple of pounds lighter. You know, you feel that you are full of energy. Everything is easy for you. You feel stronger, more energetic, and you can grasp the whole world, understand everything about it. That's just a wonderful, energized feeling. And that is not by accident. The details are reduced. You can get a more overall picture, an overall picture about everything. You don't care about the details. And have these negative emotions, they pull you down with these details. You just cannot, you know, you've become tired and overwhelmed with all those details that your mind ruminates about. You know that yesterday they even were unfriendly in the, I don't know, the community store or whatever. So it's just a very, it drags you down. And that's why you don't want negative emotions for a long time. But of course, evolutionary, these were important, because when you got scared, you better knew all the details, what was going on, why you are scared. Otherwise, you don't know how to respond. So,
yeah, also, Eva, what is important, for the listener to know, that I'm sure a lot of people know even about that, long-term negative emotions also impact the immune system.
Precisely so. And that's why they lead to various diseases. And as closer scientists look, the more relationship they find to various diseases, autoimmune diseases, cardiovascular diseases, and even cancer. So this is not something, of course, the mental diseases that is so closely intertwined with emotion, with problems of emotional processing. So And as I said, these problems, family problems, unemployment, which is all basically due to or connected to negative emotions, will cause death in later in your life, in middle age and older, from all causes. So this is just mind-blowing. It's not only...
Yes, but one other thing, what is also, hugely in today era, what we are dealing with it, yes, all this thing can cause us all these conditions, but... And another thing, what I'm seeing is that we are actually dealing with a paradigm shift, and a lot of people are scared about this new paradigms, because what really happens is that they have to, give up their old ideas, old belief system, and old way of living. And, it's for some people, it's very difficult to move into this new, practically unknown, not recognizing that actually with that, you can actually shift everything and even improve your health. And I think this is hugely for today, that a lot of people are losing jobs and everything else, and everybody just crashes instead recognizing that there are different opportunities. So I would actually like to kind of give a little more on the positive note, hope for people that, yes, being unemployed is horrible or, impacting the financial situation. But there's other ways to increase maybe a new chance and do something that you never did before. We are challenged with that.
Yes, that's a very good point, and thank you for making it. That's so important.
And that, Emma, and that challenges our emotions.
Yes, exactly. We are living in a challenging time, a difficult time. Financial crisis on 2008 and around that time was a deep one, and everybody was hoping that we would get out of the ditch very quickly, but it didn't happen. It's still
that's what I'm talking
there.
About, exactly.
The warning signs are still there, but the climate, the international climate is changing. Large governments are aware of the problem, and they know that we are in the same boat, to use Martin Luther King's words, that if they don't act collectively, and I'm talking about all the large government, of course there are rogue, small rogue states here and there who just don't care. But large governments in China, in America, in Europe, and in Japan, and elsewhere, know about the dangers, and they act collectively to pull us through this. And in the process, we are moving closer to each other. So maybe the leadership that America experienced in the 20th century maybe is waning, but instead it's being replaced with a new time, a paradigm shift, as you mentioned, that will move everybody closer to together, and there won't be a need, you know, when there are no such huge conflicts that existed during the Cold War, then there is no need for one country to be such a, to have such a huge and disproportionately large role. But it would be replaced with something that is more collaborative, more cooperative, and more friendly, if you will.
I think, Eva, you know, we are all kind of involved with this, and we are all challenged. It's not just one or country or one nation challenge. I think we are all challenged because we are dealing with this global impact that is impacting everybody. And because of the technology, everything is so speeded up. So I think that we are all caught in this midst of the change.
Oh, yes, very much so. And we need to change with the times. And this is the field. The field helps us to change, but we can refuse individually. And we can turn inward and shut off the world. And that's not good for us. That's
exactly when
our health and everything else will be impacted. So we have to embrace this change, this new time that is coming, whether we like it or not. And if we read about these questions, go to my website, go to my blog, and read these, read other people's blog that will help you, or read, listen to programs like yours, which is wonderful to talk about this paradigm shift and wellness and health, because you want to know about these things when you are aware. You can make changes, or even if you don't consciously make changes, but knowing about these things, your subconscious will change and
will
adapt,
you.
Will guide you. And maybe you can find a new occupation. You maybe have to learn something new, but it will take you forward and it will make you happier. And that's wonderful, because it will allow you to be part of the community and move forward professionally in your personal life, and it will help your family also.
You know, yeah, this is an amazing point here, what you were just saying. The reason why, because, you know, we are actually challenged on a physical level, on mental level, on emotional level, on spiritual level. We are challenged on all levels that everything what we know until now, it's not valid anymore. There's so much more new information. And yes, I mean, there's a lot of misinformation in between. But, you know, that is a great opportunity for us actually to grow internally and as a collective.
Yes, we live in a wonderful time. It's never been historically that people would have access to information in such a huge scale. The democratization of access to information is is today is a huge advancement with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly,
you can
exactly.
Go and learn about, find out about anything you desire, and you should take this tool, this wonderful tool, and you can help yourself and you can help your family, and you can become part of this huge change, this paradigm shift, as you put it, that is occurring, and that is for the benefit of all mankind. So we are living in a very exciting time with full of opportunities. And even if you just take a little step forward, that will move you. It will make you feel better about yourself and mm-hmm. about your environment. And that you did it for yourself and for your loved ones also.
You know, I mean, I totally understand also that maybe, you know, emotional, painful, you know, parting with our past and stuff. But on the some level, we have to also recognize that, you know, without not moving forward, you know, we will just kind of be, you know, another word, what I like what you were saying, it's a neutrality. And in the neutrality, you're almost becoming static, if I understand correctly.
Oh, yes, yes. And that is not a good position to be. This static is not a good position to be in. And when I was talking about emotional stability, that is so important through yoga and meditation, I was not talking about not having emotions. Just the opposite. These methods, mindfulness and meditation, they help you to have these colorful emotional state. Not by accident that children have this wide range of emotions. They can cry in one moment and laugh in the next. That's what we have to imitate. That's the wonderful thing.
The liveness.
yes, that liveness, that rich experience. That's where we want to get to.
Well, listen, this is a beautiful way, you know, for our closure. We have two more minutes. That was awesome. I am so very much appreciating because, you know, there are so much more to talk about. Emotions is just amazing. Again, Eva, do you mind just let our listener know, you know, how they can get in touch with you, you know, information what you're having, your website?
Oh, yes, yes, thank you. I have my personal website, evadeli.com, and my professional website, thescienceofconsciousness.com. It's all in one breath, one word, scienceofconsciousness.com. And both of them, they will find access to this information and a lot more.
Oh, it's a great site. I have to tell you, folks.
Thank you to read some of my blogs. I even have the podcast there, and continuously I will have new information there. I have a YouTube and but all can be accessed from the website. So I encourage the listeners to check it out. And
well, listen, thank you so much, Eva. And for the closing, give us a something that, you know, we can take with at home. What is your closing thought?
Oh, emotions are crucial in your life, and they direct your life. So you better master your emotions, and so they will direct you to a good place. A wonderful, happy, joyful, successful place. I wish that to all listeners. And thank you for having me on the show. I had a ball and it was wonderful. Thank you, Magdalena.
Listen, I just wanted to add, make your emotions your friend, not your enemy.
Very good closing. Thank you.
Oh, Eva, thank you so much. And you know what? We did not have any kind of technical problems tonight. Yay! Super!
Yes, awesome. Wonderful.
I'm very excited. Well, Eva, thank you so much for staying up so late and, you know, stay in touch. And I wish you an absolutely awesome day. Have a good night. Folks,
thank
good
you.
Night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.